time for another podcast. Today, I thought I'd talk about the case curve versus the death curve. Right now, across Canada and some other countries, we're seeing a resurgence of cases. The curve is going up, and by the curve, I mean the number of new cases per day, the incidence rate, as we call it, bat hair day. But what we're not seeing yet is a related rise in hospitalizations and of deaths. And a lot of people are therefore saying, well, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? Because people aren't dying. It's just like the common cold then, right? Well, there are at least five reasons that the case count might be going up and the death count is not yet. And I want to go through and list those reasons now in what I think is the descending order of likelihood of the explanatory reasons. Number one, the most likely reason is that deaths and hospitalizations are lagging indicators, by which I mean, first you get the case, get infected, then you become hospitalized, then you die. And a certain percentage of each of those groups moves on to the next. So right now we think the infection fatality rate for COVID is between 0.5 and 1%. And that includes the high risk groups, those over 80, and the low risk groups, those under 10. So maybe if you just count the ones that are younger, the infection fatality rate goes down significantly lower. But regardless, a percentage of the infections will lead to hospitalizations and will lead to death. And in general, it takes 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks for that to happen. So right now we're seeing the incidence curve rise. Wait a few weeks and we'll see if the hospitalization and the death curve also rise as a percentage of those cases ends up having a hard time. First reason. Second reason, and I think this is pretty obvious, is that a lot of the new cases, the majority of the new cases, are in quote-unquote young people. Young people in this case is under 40. That's young now. 40 is young. And those under 40 are much less likely to be hospitalized and to die. Okay, so that explains a lot of it. Keep in mind that those under 40 will eventually give it to those over 40 who are more likely to be hospitalized and to die. So that adds to that lag that I mentioned. And the reason that they're more likely to give it to those older is that we live in a mixed society. Old people and young people congregate a lot. We don't live in separate aspects of the city. There isn't a wall separating us, with the exception of nursing homes. Okay, so we do encounter people of different generations on a regular basis. Number three is that we have more testing now than we did back at the peak of the first wave, back in March or April. And we're testing a wider set of individuals. We're not just waiting for the more serious cases to come to the door, people who are just suspected of being exposed or allowed to get tested. As a result, we're going to capture more milder cases, lesser symptomatic cases, and milder cases are much less likely to move on to hospitalization and therefore moving on to death. Okay, keep in mind those mild cases will also quite likely ultimately infect a more vulnerable demographic, older people, immunocompromised people, and drive the death numbers up that way. So that's also adding to the lag that I mentioned. Number four. What's number four? Now we get a little more controversial and things that are a little less likely. Number four is that we are actually better at preventing death now than we were back in March or April. A little bit better. And by that I mean, if you end up in the hospital, you are faced with the doctors with some experience with this disease now. It's not as novel as it was back in March. They know the ventilator settings, for example. They know to put you prone or supine to prevent having to get on a ventilator. They know to use remdesivir or dexamethasone to stave off worse symptoms and possibly death. So your probability of death has come down a little bit. That matters. Number five, It's pretty controversial. And I want to preface this by saying I'm not a microbiologist. Last time I was in a wet lab was as an undergrad, how many decades ago. I know very little about PCR tests, but there is a theory going around that the threshold that we use to define a case by using PCR tests is too low. So PCR, if you don't know, is a technology, a technique where we amplify the genetic signal in a sample to get enough to test. So if you have to amplify it a lot, it means there wasn't a lot in there to begin with. And if there wasn't a lot in there to begin with, maybe it's a residual from a previous infection. Maybe it's a dead virus. So the accusation is that many of these tests are picking up non-infectious residue from previous infections, therefore should not count as cases. So by that argument, we actually are not seeing the exponential growth that we think we're seeing. I think this is unlikely, but I don't know. So I have to put it forward as a theory. The last one is even more unlikely. The sixth reason. I said five originally. Maybe there's six. Who knows? There are lots of reasons that maybe the case counts are going up and the death counts aren't. And it's been suggested that the virus has mutated to something less lethal. I think this is very unlikely. It hasn't been with us long enough to mutate that much. Again, I'm not a virologist. I could not say that authoritatively, but I'm told by actual virologists that that's the case, and that what they have observed is that what mutations have taken place have not changed the lethality significantly. So it's unlikely that is the case. Other people have some more, extreme ideas, which are intriguing, like mask wearing is a kind of variolation that allows us to be a little bit inoculated against the virus by our frequent mask wearing. It gives a little bit of virus at a time, and that has built up our immune systems. That's intriguing. I have no evidence to say one way or the other, but I think there hasn't been enough time yet for that to manifest as mass protection against death that we would see in the data stream. So epidemiologically, I think that's my criticism. There hasn't been enough time for that to be a huge effect yet, because people have not been wearing masks as much in Canada yet. It's a relatively new thing. So I think what's likely happening is the first two, is hospitalizations and deaths are a lagging indicator. Wait a month for the bad news. And the age bracket that the disease is now affecting is younger, so there's less likelihood to be hospitalizations and death. So what does this all mean? It means buckle in, we're in for a fun time. And I mean that sarcastically. And I hope we are all wrong about everything. I hope this ends up being completely non-lethal this time around. I would love to be wrong, okay? So it wouldn't be a gotcha moment, it would be a celebration moment. Thank you.